your house. Just, you know, Paul told Timothy this. He said, stir up the gift that's on the inside of you. You know, at times it's easy in church, right? Because I'm stirring you up. The Holy Ghost and the corporate anointing is stirring you up. But how many of you know we're only here twice a week? Amen. We're out there in the world more than we're in the corporate anointing. And so to get by in these days, to hear from heaven and to walk victoriously, we're going to need to stir ourselves up. Amen. And that's a way to really to do it. You just pace your floors at night in private and just say that name of Jesus. I'll tell you, you'll stir some things up. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, when people need answers, I tell them, just get into sweet presence and worship with God and get your focus on Him and get that clarity you need. Praise God. I'll tell you, He loves it too. Oh man, He's proud tonight. Glory to God. Well, Lord, we love You so much. Lord, we could just spend all night singing to You and worshiping You and thanking You for all that You've done through Your death, burial, and resurrection. We're honored to be in church tonight. And Father, naturally, it doesn't seem like a big thing. You know, we're not in a huge church. We're not in a huge city. There's not thousands of us gathered. But Father, we don't need that. We just need two or three for Your manifested presence to be here. So we thank You for help tonight. We thank You for utterance in the Holy Ghost. And we thank You for boldness. Father, I thank You that what's going to be said tonight is going to change our lives. And Father, we're going to be blessed going forward. And we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Romans 8 and verse 26. Well, last week was a sweet service, wasn't it? It was just a good 2 days for both the churches. And you know, you're to be commended that the people of Olean really have benefited from the faithfulness of this congregation. And of course, 4 people got filled with the Holy Ghost. That brings the total to between 10 and 15 in 2 years. And then, over 30 people have been born again there. And so it's just awesome what God's doing. And more to come. Praise God. But it just seemed good in my spirit to build upon what we talked about last week and to lead us into something extra on Wednesday nights. You know, when Reverend Caminetti was, really it's been since Reverend Greer was here, there's such an emphasis right now on prayer in the body of Christ. I mean, you talk to the ministers that are in our camp, but even ministers outside, it just seems like there's this call to pray. And I don't know, I think it has a lot to do with the upcoming election in November next year, and then also Jesus is coming back soon. And we have a job to do, and there's things that need to be aligned on the earth for that to happen. And one thing that's been really stirring on the inside of me is to have corporate prayer together. And people that can get together and pray. You see in the book of Acts, when they moved places and shook things, they were together. When the Holy Ghost came on the scene, they were together doing what? Praying. When places were shaken, they were together praying. And we need people to pray, not only for the nation, for the plan of God as a whole in the body of Christ, but for this work. God wants to do special things here, amazing things here. And it's not going to take place unless people are praying out those mysteries. And ever since Reverend Greer was here and Reverend Patsy Caminetti really just emphasized that. And so I've been seeking God, Lord, how do we do that? Because, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have another night to do anything. I'm already, you know, when I have Tuesday nights in Olean, I got to have a night to prepare for that service. And then I have to have a time to give my body somewhat of a rest. And so I just knew in my spirit, I can't have another night of another service. And so it seemed good to do corporate prayer on Wednesday nights after we get done preaching. Now, that doesn't mean you have to stay for it. Of course, we'll take a break after the service and you can leave. It doesn't mean we'll be here all night either. And what I'll try to do is maybe, if the Holy Ghost allows us, to cut down on the message, but then spend time, you know, even if it's just 15, 20 minutes after, praying for the plan of God, praying for the nation, and making waves, but then also committing to do it on our own, you know. One thing the Holy Ghost showed me is we can corporately pray in our homes, corporately agreeing to do it together. You know what I mean by that is that we agree, okay, we'll take 10 minutes and pray in tongues at night, you know, and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray for the plan of God. And that way, if we're all doing it, we're still corporately praying. We're just not all together. There's times where we need to do it all together and times we need to do it separate. So we'll be implementing that as well. It's just something I have to do. I have to obey. Now, if the Holy Ghost told me and permitted me to have another night, a Monday night or a Thursday night, I'd do it. And if people would want want to come, they could come. But as of right now, it just seems in my spirit that we're to do it after service on Wednesday night. So that's what we're going to be doing. Amen? But Romans 8 and verse 26 says this. It says, and again, I'm kind of picking up what we talked about last week a little bit, but I want to take it even further. I'll just kind of just go ahead and tell you what I'm trying to get you to be is addicted to praying in tongues. If you're still in the service and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, not speaking in tongues, don't tune me out, because when you do start speaking in tongues, you already have the stuff on the inside of you. Amen? It's no condemnation for those things. But I want to get you addicted to this, because I'm seeing more and more the benefits of it and more the importance of it and more how this day and age, it's an amazing, isn't it an amazing thing that this dispensation, all the years that led up to Jesus dying on the cross, those people did not have that wonderful gift of speaking in tongues, but the dispensation we're in now, Jesus said, you need this. It's such a privilege and such a wonderful thing that we need to take advantage of. It was never meant to be separate from the Christian life in the sense of, well, I'll just take it. If I get it, if I don't, I'm just going to keep on going. No, that's unacceptable to Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean if you're here tonight and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're unacceptable to the Lord. What I'm saying is you're going down that path to receive it eventually. And I hope that you don't leave it just laying there and just say, well, I'm going to do without it, because that's what's unacceptable, that attitude, because Jesus said you need it. He gave it to us for a purpose, because this dispensation needs people doing it. Praise God. And so we're going to go even further with that tonight. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, it goes on to tell us what our infirmities are. It's not talking about the flu or a headache. It's not talking about sicknesses. It's talking about weaknesses. It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. The Amplified says, we don't know what prayer to offer. And I like this. It goes on to say how to offer it worthily. And you can see there, he says, we don't know how we should pray as we ought to, or as we should. Well, that's interesting to me, because that tells me that we can't just pray any old way. If the Bible tells us that we have to figure out how to pray worthily, or pray as we should, that means that there is a way that we should pray and there is a way that we can do it worthily. Then we can't just throw all kinds of prayer in a bag, shake it up and say it's just all the same. Or we can't just pray any old way we want to, because there's a way we ought to pray. Do you see that there? That there's a way that we ought to pray, that the Holy Ghost is looking and God is looking for us to pray a certain way. Well, then I guess it matters how we pray, doesn't it? Because it says that what prayer in the Amplified, what prayer we should offer, or how to offer that prayer worthily, or as the King James says, as we ought to, or as we should. So he's saying that there's weaknesses at times, things that need to be prayed out, but we don't know what prayer to offer that or how to pray that. Well, some people would say, well, just pray generally. Obviously, that doesn't work. Obviously, we need to know how we should do it, how we ought to do it, how we worthily ought to do it. We get a little glimpse of this. Jump over to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. I'm going to show you a verse that really revolutionized my life when I saw it. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 John 5 and verse 14 says this. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know, verse 15, that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. Go back to verse 14. It says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. I know this, that I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in my prayer life before I got some knowledge on how to pray, right? A lot of Christians don't have a whole lot of confidence when they pray. How do I know? Because they'll pray prayers like, if it be thy will, Lord. They're saying, I don't know if this is your will, but if it be thy will, let's just hope that it lands on red, right? Praise God. Or, boy, Lord, I've prayed this before a long time ago. I don't know if I were you, if I'd do anything for me. But if by chance you'd find it in your goodness and your graces, would you please shine your happy face on me? Prayers like that, right? Have you ever thought that way or prayed that way or heard people? I mean, The body of Christ is doing it all the time. That's not very confident. But thanks be to God, he says we can have confidence in him. That's good. Praise God. I want to know that when I pray, I can have confidence. You know, the Catholics have a thing called a Hail Mary, and that's not what I'm talking about when I say Hail Mary. There's also the football term Hail Mary that comes from the Catholic term Hail Mary, which the Hail Mary in football is what they just throw the ball up at the end, right, in a big pile of people and hope your guy comes down with it. They're basically saying we're throwing up a prayer, right? It's not very likely that it's going to happen, but we're sure hoping it does. That's the way Christians are praying. Just kind of throwing things up and hoping to hit the jackpot with God. And if they don't, well, that just wasn't his will. Well, that's sure giving God a bad name. Yeah. Amen? And it's sure leaving a whole lot of Christians with unanswered prayers. But the Bible says that this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything, here's the key, according to his will. If we will do that, the Bible says he will hear us. And the next verse says, if we know he hears us, well, how do we know he hears us? Tells us in verse 14, asking according to his will. Then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You know, a lot of people just don't know the will of God. See, you can have a 100% success rate in your prayer life. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Let's wake up in here tonight. Praise God. Stir it up. You can have 100% success rate in your prayer life if you'll pray according to what God's will is. If you don't pray according to what God's will is, the Bible says he doesn't even hear you. And if he doesn't hear you, you don't have any confidence that you're going to have it. And so it's interesting, the Bible is his will. So when things like sickness, poverty, worry, fear, anxiety come your way, we can go into prayer, into faith on those things, knowing that we have 100% the answer. We can always know we have the answer, glory to God, if we'll pray the Word of God. Or for example, like when I was looking for a home, and God told me when I walked into that house, this is your house. Well, see, I knew generally that God had provision for me, just like somebody will know that they can get married if they want to, right? The Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing. God's not against anybody being married. That marriage is of him. But you can't go around just claiming any old spouse you want. You know, you're a guy, you see a pretty girl walking down the street, I claim her as my wife by faith. You can't do that, right? A situation that you can claim a wife by faith and say, praise God, I claim a godly wife for myself. Praise God, I claim, if you're a woman, I claim a godly husband. But you can't go claim any old guy, right? But if someone was walking down the street, right? I know this happened for Pastor Nancy and Pastor Michael. Right off the get-go, the Lord told her, that's going to be your husband. So she can claim that. Before anything even materialized or came together, the Lord told her. So there, that's the will of God. She can claim that by faith and enter into prayer that way, right? Well, same way with the house. I walk in. Now I know God has a house for me, so I thank you, Lord, for a house. But then he shows me, this is your house. So then I can start confidently going into prayer and into faith based on that, knowing that I'm going to have 100% success rate. Amen? That's why it's vital to find out what the will of God is. Well, we know what the will of God is on a lot of things. Provision, prosperity, right? You know God has jobs for you. You might not know the specific job. You might need to get in and find out what that is. But you know at least he has one for you. He has provision for you. And see, a lot of times I'm praying, Father, if it be thy will. Well, why don't you find out what his will is? And then you can go to prayer and know for sure. But the reason I brought this scripture up is because Romans 8:26 says that we have weaknesses at times. That we don't know what to offer worthily as we ought to or as we should. Well, when we look at that verse, we say, well, then what does that mean to offer it as we should or offer it worthily? Well, these verses tell us. Worthily prayers, or prayers that have value behind them, or prayers that are ought to be or should be prayed, are ones that are in line with God's will. That's the key in prayer life. That's the key to a successful prayer life, is praying in accordance with his will. When you pray outside of his will, you're not guaranteed to have anything. You're not guaranteed, because God's not going outside of his will. But in his will, you're within his flow. And so when Romans 8:26 tells us we have weaknesses, that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought to or how we should, this verse gives us a key, that the way we should pray is always in line with God. Amen? Well then, we talked about this a little bit last week, but there's times that we don't know specifically what the will of God is. Correct? We know generally about some things of what the will of God is, but there are times we don't know specifics of what the will of God is. For example, you know God has a good plan for your life. Jeremiah tells you that. Ephesians tells you that He has a good plan that He prepared before the foundations of the earth that you should walk in enjoying the good life which He prepared beforehand. You know that. But you don't know what that looks like. You know it's good, but you don't know what that means, who that means you're going to marry, what job that means, what direction, what path you're supposed to take, this corner, this turn. Those are things you don't know at times, right? Your future, you know, is good, but you don't know details about all your future. You all know that God has placed gifts in your life. The Bible says so. He's given each of us gifts differing according to the grace given to us. But you don't know specifically what that gift is, maybe, or how that gift is going to be used, or what God wants you to do with that gift, right? You know generally some things, but you don't know specifically. Things about your kids, things about your businesses. You know that your business is going to be blessed. You know that your finances are going to be blessed. But there are things and decisions that come up. Well, should I invest in this? Should I do this to my business? Should I maybe go into a little bit of debt here for increase later? Well, you can try to figure all these things out in your mind and shuffle these things back and forth. But that's not where the answers are found. The answers are not found in the natural realm. The answers are not found in your head. They're not found in emotions. They're not found in goosebumps. They're not found in tears. They're found in the spirit realm. And so there's times that situations arise that you know the answer's blessing, you know the answer's healing, you know the answer's increase, but you need to find out some details on those things. Well, those are weaknesses. Those are infirmities that you don't know everything. But praise God. Now go back to Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. Trying to get you addicted to praying in tongues. Romans 8:26 says this. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, or what prayer to offer, or how to offer it worthily. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself, it should say, makes intercession for us. So we have a weakness, and the Bible tells us, the weakness is we don't know what prayer to offer worthily. We saw in 1 John 5, it matters how you pray. Gone are the days that God's just going to be nice to you because you're His child. No, He has to stick to His will, right? He can't go out. You can't go to God claiming somebody walking down the street or claiming something else that's outside of His will and say, nope, I got it because I'm His child. No, God's only going to keep in accordance with His will, right? So the Bible tells us we have a weakness, but the Bible tells us the Spirit helps with this weakness when we don't know how to offer. So now it's going to tell us how. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Well, that's good. That's good to know that He makes intercession, but how? With groanings which cannot be uttered, or one translation says, which groanings which cannot be understood. Well, that sounds like an unknown tongue to me. I know this, that, and it still amazes me to this day, one of the main, two of the main reasons that are neck and neck in the race for people to not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism. Number one, people get offended when you say there's a separate experience, when the Bible clearly tells us that there is, right? Nobody's being down on what you do have, but we're just telling you there's more for you, right? Praise God. And then the second reason is because tongues is so weird sounding. Well, it's weird sounding, it's because it's a language that's never been uttered before. Nobody's tongues are alike. When you first open your mouth to speak in tongues, that's a language that the world has never before heard before. But it's also a language your head and your ears have never before heard. And it's weird, and so that trips people up a lot of times. It stops them from receiving, or it stops them from progressing within this. But the Word says the Spirit will help us by giving intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. Now go with me to Acts chapter 2 in verse 4. And then we'll go back to these verses. Acts 2 and verse 4. Praise the Lord. Acts 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in other tongues. Acts 2 and verse 4. There we go. And they began to speak with other tongues. Now notice this. How does that happen? Well, remember, groanings, which cannot be uttered or understood, which we know this, that the Holy Ghost does not make a sound. Right? The Holy Ghost is not off in the corner groaning that things that are not understood, right? Or utter that we hear, but I've never heard the Holy Ghost groan before. He doesn't, right? He lives on the inside of us. Well, how did they speak with other tongues, an unknown language? As the Spirit gave them, the real them, their spirit utterance. So their spirit, the Holy Spirit in them, gave their spirit the words, and then they uttered them forth. Now, that's how it works. Now, go back to Romans 8:26. Just kind of helping you here, trying to show you some things to get you excited about this praying in tongues business. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit does. And how does He do it? He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So how does He make the intercession? The Spirit, when there's weaknesses of things we don't know what to pray, when we pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost on the inside of us speaks to our spirit, and then we pray forth those groanings which cannot be understood. But what are those groanings? In verse 27, it tells us, He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now that should stand out to you, because we don't know how we ought to pray. Well, how do we learn that we ought to pray? In line with God's will. That's how things are going to get accomplished. That's how things are going to be done. It's amazing that even though God has a will, He still needs people to pray that out. That just because God has a will doesn't mean it will take place. That will, which a lot of times, like when we'll pray for the country, when we'll pray for the plan of God here, that will that God has is unknown to us. Well, the way that that will is going to be prayed out, and for it to be prayed out effectively, is we're going to have to get in line with God's will. But how on earth are we supposed to know God's will if it's future tense and we just don't know what it is? This is how. The Spirit of God gives it to us, and we pray out, and it prays in tongues according to the will of God. So we might not know what we're praying, but the Spirit of God tells us that when you do this, I will make the intercession for you. You just give me a mouthpiece to speak it through, because the plan of God always needs people to pray it for it to come to pass. Always does. We see that with James being murdered and Peter being spared. The only difference was somebody opened their mouth. God wanted James spared just as much as Peter, but the Bible says when the church prayed, he was spared, right? We see that in Matthew 9, where Jesus said, I see there's people that are scattered, sheep without a shepherd. He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. See, there's a great harvest to be picked, and the only way the whole harvest is going to be picked is if there's more laborers to pick it. Basically, he's saying that the harvest will go unpicked if there's not laborers to pick it. Now, don't you think God wants the harvest? Absolutely, He's the Lord of the harvest. That's why He gave us Jesus, so people would not perish. Well, He said the only way that can be done is if you pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into His harvest field. Well, don't you think if God could automatically send laborers out into the harvest field, He would? Absolutely, that's what He wants. That's what He wants. Hallelujah. And so the only way you're going to do that, praise God, is by praying it. And then God says, oh, okay, now I can do it. Same with His plan. It's not enough to say, well, we can't pray out what we don't know, because we've been given something to help us pray out what we don't know, which is praying in tongues, the Holy Ghost. Amen? Do you see how valuable and important it is, not only for the plan of God, for the upcoming election, for things in this country, for what's going on in our church, the body of Christ as a whole, and then also for our own lives? What is God going to have me do? The decisions I have to make, the callings on my life, the ministry that God's going to have for me. I don't know these things, but that's not enough to just say we don't know it. Well, let's find out what they are by praying in tongues according to the will of God. Amen. Praise His holy name. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Hallelujah. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. What's a mystery? Things that are hidden or not obvious to your understanding. Right? Praise God. Grandma used to watch Murder, She Wrote. Right? You didn't know who did it until the end, right? It was a mystery. Well, a lot of things in our lives are mysteries. But they don't have to stay mysteries. Come with me to John chapter 16. Hallelujah. John 16. In verse, oh, let's see, I believe it's 17. Now remember, when you pray in tongues, what's happening on the inside of you? The Spirit of God, which the Bible says is the one that searcheth the mind of God. He is God. Tells your spirit what's up. Praise God. God telling your spirit things. What things? Mysteries. The will of God. Praise the Lord. Mysteries, speaking out. John 16 in verse, let's see, let's go to John 16 in verse 13. And we'll read down through verse, we'll just stay on that verse. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Well, he's come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Now remember, when you pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost is speaking, right? You don't hear him. But remember Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 said, they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, the Spirit gave their spirit the utterance, and then they spoke it forth. So the Bible says that he will not, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, who's he hearing from? Heaven, God. He shall speak, and he will show you things to come. What an advantage we have. And now this doesn't just apply to praying in tongues. God can, you can be led by the Holy Ghost, because it's available to all his children, without speaking in tongues. But one thing you can't do is pray out the mysteries, the unknown, laying out the tracks for your life without those groanings which cannot be understood, right? Because there's weaknesses at times. Because what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when a situation that you encounter that you face one of those infirmities that God said you would? Those, I don't know how to offer it wordly as I should. And you know, I can't just pray up any prayer. I got to pray according to the will of God if I'm going to make waves. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did Paul say about this praying in tongues business? I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all, didn't he? Didn't he say that? Glory to God. Let me read you something again. Now, Brother Hagin said this. Now, we don't worship a man. Right? I could give a rip if his name was Brother Hagin or Brother Chandelier or Brother TV Screen. It wouldn't matter to me. Or sister, if they're not alive with the Word, I don't want anything to do with them. I had one person say to me, man, you sure seem to worship that man. I said, no. I said, I believe in what he said. And I said, but it is funny. Everything that man ever said always directly lines up with the Bible. I've never heard him say one thing. I've never read up anything in his books that contradicted the Word of God. I had a chance to spend some time with Pastor Webb. Pastor Webb comes into the family churches and Pastor Michael's church, occasionally Pastor Tim's church. And Pastor Webb's church was one of the few churches that Brother Hagin could step in the pulpit and immediately be in that prophetic office. There was just awesome things going on in that church. And I got to spend some time with him on a bear hunt, and I was riding around in the truck with him after one night. And I said, in all your time spent with him, did you ever hear him say anything that didn't sit right or that was outside the confines of the Word of God? Now, this was a conversation that we were talking about things like this and different things that in different ditches that have gotten brought up in the body of Christ. So I knew I had some access this night. And so I brought him up and I said, along these lines, have you ever heard Brother Hagin ever say anything in all his years or write anything that wasn't smack dab center, bullseye of the Word of God? And he said, never. Never. And I haven't either. I haven't found anything that was even somewhat, oh, I don't know, it's always so balanced and so sound. That's why he was so trusted. That's why he was so dynamic. But this is what I want to read that he mentioned here, because he said this, he said that tongues, how many of you would like to live out of that supernatural realm? Get out of this realm into the supernatural realm where the answers are found, where the showing you things to come happens, where the future's revealed. How amazing that you're a fortune teller on the inside of you. Isn't that supernatural? Isn't the world seeking that stuff? I mean, you see on these talk shows, it's amazing to me how people are duped by this stuff. And I'm not even saying that it's not real, that what they're being told isn't real. But isn't it amazing to me that John Edwards or somebody that speaks to the dead, which by the way, he doesn't, it's called familiar spirits, When you die, you go up or you go down. You don't linger around here on the earth. Hallelujah. Anyways, it's amazing to me that they'll say, oh yeah, I'm talking with them right now. And they'll give them something like this. Did they have a favorite pair of pink socks? Oh my God! Duped. They're holding, what I'm trying to point out is, and I have compassion for these people, they're heartbroken. They're holding on to the supernatural so much that somebody can tell them that they had a favorite pair of pink socks and it sends them into a total conundrum of weeping and wailing. Because they want to touch that realm so much. That's what we're desiring in this natural body, to touch that realm. Why are UFOs such a big thing? Why we want that supernatural? We're just craving for something. There's got to be something more than us. Well, there is. His name is God. It's God. And again, I'm not putting those people down that go see psychics and go, and I'm not even telling you that they're not true. You don't think the devil knows some things? Absolutely he does. In fact, we see that fortune telling is not of God because Paul cast the devil out of a girl that was doing it in the book of Acts. And then he got his rear kicked for doing it. Right? They can tell him stuff. The devil can tell him stuff. Why? Because then that pulls them towards that way, the supernatural, and pulls them away from God. But see, we already have the all-knowing one on the inside of us. See, these people don't know anything about eternal life, and so they're so... Let's face it, eternity is in the heart of every person. People wonder, what's going to happen when I die, right? And so when somebody, the loved one, passes away and goes away from this world, this natural that we're still on this side, because of their ignorance and not knowing what has happened, is just craving and longing to get some reassurance that they're okay. Yeah. Well, we already know what the Word has said about these things, right? We already know that if you're born again, you go to heaven. If you're not, you don't. And so we already know, but we have the, I'll show you things to come one on the inside of us. The world is craving. And Brother Hagin said this. This is why I brought that up. That tongues. He was a man. Now, Paul was a man that had supernatural visitations, didn't he? He had revelations. He said, I'll come to revelations. I will come to visitations. He said in one place, he said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't even know, but I was caught up to the third heaven. He said, I don't even know if my body went or if my spirit just went. He said, but I know I was there. He had supernatural experiences. And what did he say? I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, Brother Hagin had a lot of supernatural experiences that he documented and wrote down. And you know what he said? He said that tongues is the doorway into that supernatural realm. He would say, the more I would pray in tongues, the more supernatural experiences I would have. The more the gifts of the Spirit, which the gifts of the Spirit are spirit realm, operated. It was interesting last night in Olean, I was praying in tongues after the service, and the word of knowledge dropped in me so clear as if it was written on a scroll. And I began to prophesy forth, or just speak forth, exhortation, edification, and comfort, what the exact thoughts that people were having to a T. Never had thought in this line before, but the Holy Ghost gave me specific thoughts. I mean, we're talking about thoughts that maybe have never even been uttered to somebody else. The Holy Ghost is telling me what people are having generally, and I spoke it forth. Did it not happen, Jake? And I spoke it forth. And after I said this, I said, now, for those of you that are having those thoughts, no condemnation, but come up to me after service in private and tell me so to confirm this word so you know I'm not off my rocker. And I told the people the thoughts that they were having. I said, that's why I need the Holy Ghost for. I never in a million years thought that people were having these thoughts. And they came up to me. Four people after the service came up to me and said, that's exactly what I was having. And in fact, someone said, me and another person talk about this all the time. Well, the Holy Ghost showed me that, but it came as I was praying in tongues. Here I was going about my business for 2 years in Olean, praying in tongues. Boom, it drops right in there, the answer, praise God. The supernatural. And he said, tongues is the doorway. Remember what he said about the secret of his success? He said, actually, everything I'm doing today is the result of believing the Word. See, that's why I love him so much. He was balanced. It always had to be the Bible. Any vision, any revelation, any visitation that man ever had directly lined up with the Word of God, right? It was never on the outside or the confines of the Word of God. He's fine. Thank you, though. It's always in line with the Word of God. all the time. That's why I'm so thankful for what he said, because I don't have to worry about him being off in outer space, praise God, or off in some weird land. Hallelujah, thank God for it. But this is what he said. Actually, everything that I'm doing today is a result of believing the word, praying. This is amazing when a guy like Brother Hagin says this. Praying in other tongues. Everything I'm doing today is the word and praying in other tongues and being obedient to what God's told me to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everything I'm doing today is a result of praying in tongues. The doorway into the supernatural. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin said this. The greatest financial breakthroughs that he ever had. Go ahead, pick it up. The greatest financial breakthroughs that he ever had came from an extended time of praying in tongues. Amen. He said the greatest supernatural experiences he ever had and the greatest financial breakthroughs he ever had was when he, from extended times of praying in other tongues. That's pretty amazing, glory to God. John G. Lake, a man who has over 100,000 confirmed healings, he's long passed away, over 100,000 confirmed documented medical healings, who went over where the bubonic plague was, and people were dying from it left and right. He said, put some of that specimen under the microscope. And they did. They looked at it and said, yep, that's the bubonic plague. He said, put it in my hand. So they put it in his hand. This is documented. Put it in his hand. He put it back on the microscope. He said, now tell me what you see. It's dead. It's completely gone. It's dead. Power of God in him. And you know what he said? A man like that? The making of my ministry, the making of it, praying in tongues. Exactly what Brother Hagin said. The one thing that Paul said he did more than anything else that he did. He didn't mention, I do this more than that. I do confession more. I do this more. The one thing Paul said he did more than anything else was praying in tongues. The one thing Brother Hagin said you can chalk it up to, praying in tongues. The one doorway to the supernatural, praying in tongues. The greatest financial breakthroughs, praying in tongues. John G. Lake, praying in tongues. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I'm one of the greatest conundrums there is in life. Now, Smith Wigglesworth healed, great healer. I mean, tons of healings, tons of miracles, signs and wonders in that man's ministry. And he said, I'm one of the greatest conundrums there is. He said, I'm uneducated. He said, I was just a plumber, don't know anything, don't know how to read. The only thing I learned how to read is when the Holy Ghost taught me how to read the Bible. He said, what he said was the secret of my success is praying in tongues. There is heavyweights in the body of Christ trying to get over something to us. Paul, praying in tongues. Brother Hagin, praying in tongues. Smith Wigglesworth, praying in tongues. John G. Lake, praying in tongues. Pastor Nancy Dufresne went through. The greatest thing that happened to Pastor Nancy Dufresne was when she got connected with Brother Hagin, which came through Dr. Dufresne. Well, Pastor Nancy Dufresne was engaged to be married to somebody that was not Dr. Dufresne. And that engagement fell through, and she was, kind of like, well, where do I go now? You know, when you get engaged, you're kind of thinking, well, I got my whole life planned. And she said that she took days where she prayed in tongues an extended amount of time. And while doing that, things were shifting and put in place. And like a couple weeks after this breakup, and then praying in tongues, she met Dr. Dufresne. They fell in love and got married and started off, just a dynamic ministry, her connected, and now she's still feeding us today. All from praying in tongues. Now your pastor, which let's face it, we're not on the level of John G. Lake, all that, I'm not saying that. But what I can say to you is that the greatest thing that ever happened to me besides being born again was getting filled with the Holy Ghost. But see, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not the only important thing. It's going forth from being filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. Amen? Can I share a couple things with you? Hallelujah. When I was seeking God of what to do in my life, my plan. I didn't know God's plan for my life. I didn't know God's plan for my life. So I was seeking Him, praying in tongues. First I got willing. And then I started praying in tongues, driving to service, praying in tongues to Fredonia, praying in tongues. And I got in a service. And during the salvation call, I heard audibly, go to Rhema. Hallelujah. Would have never known it. Praying in tongues in the parking lot, coming back from Rhema to take care of my dad when he had a stroke, knowing I had a call in my life. Some of you know you have something in there to do, but you don't know what it is. Well, it doesn't do any good just in there not knowing what to do with it, right? I knew there was something in there, but I didn't know what. So I said, Lord, I'm going to pray as I'm doing the parking lot and I'm not greeting people and I'm just by myself. I'm going to pray out your will. I'm going to pray out your will. I don't know the future, but you do. And you said if I pray in tongues, I pray according to the perfect will of God. So I'm just going to pace this parking lot praying in tongues. And I did that day after day after day. And one day it just dropped in me as clear as day. You're going to pastor. Hallelujah. I'm out in out in the cherries, picking up the cherry brush. And I'm spending all day long. I was there all day by myself that day. I think I started around 7 or 8 o'clock. Didn't get done till 4 or 5 o'clock that night. The whole day I said, Lord, I know there's something in my heart up ahead. I don't know what it is, where it is, or what it looks like. But it doesn't do any good just knowing that. I need to know. So I was praying in tongues. I've been praying in tongues all day long. And it drops into my spirit. Next fall, in the fall of 2010, you'll pastor a church in South Dayton, New York. Praise God. Do you know how valuable information like that is? To get that a year ahead of time? So now I can start confessing for the money, confessing for the building, for confessing for the people. I mean, all sorts of things. That puts you ahead instead of just finding out last minute. Glory to God. Praise God. Now go with me to James chapter 5 and we'll close with this. Praying out the will of God for your life. I know we talked about it a little bit last week, but I just wanted to piggyback on it. And like I said, this wasn't going to take long, but I want to show you what else here about praying the perfect will of God. Praise God. Confess your faults to one another, James 5 and verse 16. James 5, 16. And pray for one another to be healed. Now look at this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can you please pull that up in the Amplified Bible? Verse 16 in the Amplified. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says this at the end. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. What's the most effective way a Christian can pray? In line with what? God's will. When you pray in tongues, you pull back that prayer bow and you let that arrow go, and guess where it hits? The bullseye every single time. There's no more effective way of praying than praying the word or praying in tongues. You can't get any more effective. It's the will of God. So, for example, there was one time that a youth group girl that was super faithful, I mean super, super faithful, all of a sudden went off the deep end. And it just threw off the whole group. And we would meet before service and pray. We had a good thing going on there for a while. We'd meet before service and pray. And they're just devastated by this. Well, I said, the word says, and I didn't know how to pray for this girl because I didn't know everything that she was into. I didn't know everything that was going on. But praise God, we don't have to. The Holy Ghost does. And so I said, well, let's do what the word says. And let's go ahead and let's lift our voice and let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us pray for her because he's our helper. And then we're going to pray in tongues, and whatever needs to be prayed for her, we can trust by Romans 8, 26 and 27 that we're praying out the will of God for her. Well, we did. We took off praying in tongues and we're just all in there. We're going after it. Praise God. And we're claiming before, we thank you, Father. Power is going to be made available for her. Now, she had been off doing her own thing for a long time and just kind of making bad decisions. But she said, and she reported back to us when she came back to God, she said, this night at this time, she said, I sensed something was different. And I realized, what in the world am I doing? And she made a complete turnaround from that night. Well, what happened? Power was made available to her. I love the story that Pastor Nancy tells about her and Grant. They got back to California late at night, and they were driving home, and they drive past a Walmart that's not a 24/7 Walmart. And he wanted to stop and get a video game. And she said, oh, sorry, Grant, the store's closed. He said, no, Mom, it's not closed. Look at all the lights, all the cars. She said, no, those are the people that are there stocking the shelf. She knew it wasn't a 24/7 Walmart, and by the time they were driving by, it was past closing time. She said, that's the people there stocking the shelves. And the Holy Ghost showed her. So that's what James 5:16 is. That when you pray, you're making tremendous power available. It's like stocking the shelves for people that need it. That when, if the Walmart shelf stockers don't do that at night, when somebody goes in the morning with their list of things they need, it's not going to be there. But when the stockers go in there and do that, when somebody goes in the list, oh, just put it in the list, put it in the cart, drop it in, right? When we as Christians pray for people that are struggling, when we as Christians pray for other Christians or unbelievers that are doing wrong things or that don't know the right way or are off in the wrong way, or if God puts somebody on our heart, when we pray in tongues for them, we're praying the will of God, but we're also making tremendous power available. We're giving them, like that girl, an opportunity to make the right choices, to make it easier to make the right choices. There's been times we have corporately prayed for people that were going through tough times, and they'll report back to me that, were you praying for me at this time? I noticed it. Well, what'd they notice? The power. And it brought supernatural comfort to them. It brought supernatural peace to them. And they'll say, this time, and I'll think back, yeah, that was when we were corporately praying as a church. We were making power available. Amen. Absolutely. So it's this praying in tongues business is so wonderful. Just get, as one minister said, so addicted to it that you pray in tongues until your tongue falls off. Pick your tongue back up, put it in, and keep right on praying. That's what one minister said about it. Just pray in tongues till your tongue falls off, right? That's what we need to get so addicted. And here's the thing that will happen. When you will get into tongues and pray in tongues, and the spirit world starts to open up to you, and your future starts getting laid out, and God starts showing you things and giving you people to pray for and showing you situations, how to avert certain situations, you'll become addicted to the spirit realm. Absolutely. And if tongues is the doorway, well, then we got to walk through it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, we'll be doers of this. Hallelujah. Lord, it's about time that we wake up and realize that when mighty men and women of God and the Bible tells us that we just better start doing this. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We honor you. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to take a couple minute break. Feel free if you need to use the bathroom, get up, move around. And then we're going to come back and pray. I might just start praying up here as we're going. I'm going to pray a little bit in English first, and then we're going to take off praying in tongues. If you have to leave, by all means, no condemnation. We know you have a life and things, but if you can adjust your schedule to be able to stay and pray with us a little bit longer, boy, that would sure help having your faith there. And if you don't pray in tongues, you can just pray anyways in English and agree with us in prayer or come up and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Whatever you want. Amen. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. We glorify you, magnify you. Praise your name. We'll leave it on. Yep, thank you.